This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir, page by page, inshallah ta'ala. Today we're on page 194, which is in the 10th juz of the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah. In the previous episode, we mentioned some of the practices of the Jahili Arabs in the way that they would change for their own benefit and for their own convenience the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, Allah azza wa jal gave to us the example of the sacred months of the year. In Islam, there are 12 months in the year, 4 of them are sacred. What the Arabs would do before Islam is that they would change the order of the months. They would delay the sacred month, or they would bring it earlier so that they could have more time to fight and engage in their civil warfare and strife and what have you. And then the following year they would put it back in its place, change it in accordance to their desires. And they would say, there's still 4 months that are sacred. We haven't really changed anything. Allah said there's 4 months, there's still 4 months. But the spirit, the meaning, the intention behind those legislations and laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, they would corrupt and they would change. And they would say, no, but we kept the name, we kept the label, we kept the outward appearance. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal says isn't befitting for those people to do. We then mentioned the verses Allah Azza wa Jal began speaking about some of the lessons of the Battle of Tabuk, which took place in the 90th of the Hijrah between the Muslims and the Byzantine Roman Empire. And Allah Azza wa Jal, as he often does when he speaks about these battles in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal begins with some general principles, some general important principles, and then Allah Azza wa Jal goes into details. From those important principles is how the believer should hasten to the commands of Allah and the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they are done in the correct way, when they're actually the commands that the Muslim should follow. You're told to pray, you should hasten to pray. You're told to make Hajj, you should hasten to the best of your ability to perform Hajj. You're told to give Zakah as soon as it's due, you should hasten to give Zakah. And this is the way that the believer should be when it comes to worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just as the companions were told to hasten when they were given the command by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to prepare themselves for this battle that they would be engaging in. And that they shouldn't be people who become lazy or feel that it's burdensome. They should remember the great reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them this command. And so it's something which is good for them and beneficial. And if they don't do so, they don't hasten, they don't help, they don't come to the support of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah saying to those believers at that time, that Allah, remember that Allah already has helped him. Allah will give him, he has Allah's divine care and protection, just as Allah Azza wa Jal helped him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anh when they were leaving Mecca. They sought shelter in the mountain of Hira, in that cave, and Allah Azza wa Jal saved them from their enemies, and Allah Azza wa Jal gave them His divine aid and assistance and care subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jal is always ready to help His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse that we're going to continue from today, verse 41, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا بأموالكم وأنفسكم في سبيل الله ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. So go out, no matter whether you are lightly or heavily armed, and struggle in Allah's way with your possessions and your persons. This is better for you if you only knew. After mentioning in the last episode, as we said, those general verses that speak about how the believers should hasten, they should be from those people who are willing to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Allah Azza wa Jalla has already given the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam His care and His aid and His divine assistance subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives this command to the believers of that time, and He says, "Infiru khifafan wa thiqala," you should go out in whichever state you're in, whether the time is difficult for you or is convenient for you, whether going will be easy for you or will be hard for you, whether the weather is cool and therefore more pleasant to travel in, whether it's hot and therefore more difficult to travel in, whether you have armor that is suitable or armor that's not as suitable, whatever it may be, that's what khifaf wa thiqal, in whichever state. The translator says here, whether you're lightly or heavily armed, but that's only one part of what is the meaning of this verse. That's only one issue that Allah is referring to. It means in every state. Khifaf means easy, thiqal means it's difficult, and that can be applied across a whole wide range of scenarios. Whether convenience in terms of time, convenience in terms of your health, convenience in terms of your financial situation, convenience in terms of your physical preparation, all of those things. Whether it's easy or it's difficult for you, then go and fight and sacrifice your lives and your wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is better for you, if only you but knew. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla now mentions this is how the believers should be. The believers are those people who, even when shaitan comes to them and he wants to make things burdensome for them, heavy for them, they feel like there's an anchor that's holding them down on the earth to move, to get out, to go to the masjid, to seek knowledge. It's like there's an anchor that's holding you down. It's a weight that's so heavy that you find it difficult to do. But if it's something of the dunya or something which is, nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sin and a misdeed or act of disobedience, then you feel energetic and you feel that it's easy for you to go and do that. Shaitan, the believer recognizes this and he seeks refuge from shaitan, and he then goes and does what Allah Azza wa Jalla commands them. This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying. This is how the believers are. They trust in Allah and they hope for Allah's reward. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak about the people who are opposite to them, and those are the people who are the hypocrites. How do the hypocrites behave? How will they, not only in this battle, but in every battle? But then when it becomes something like the Battle of Tabuk, because of who the enemy are, the distance, the weather, all of those issues, then it's only going to compound the issue for them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 42, لو كان عرضا قريبا وسفرا قاصدا لاتبعوك ولكن بعدت عليهم الشقة وسيحلفون بالله لو استطعنا لخرجنا معكم يهلكون أنفسهم والله يعلم والله يعلم إنهم لكاذبون. They would certainly have followed you if the benefit was within their sight and the journey was short, but the distance seemed too great for them. They will swear by Allah, if we could, we certainly would go out and battle with you, but they ruined themselves, for Allah knows that they are lying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when it comes to the battle to the hypocrites, this is how they behave. لو كان عرضا قريبا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they would follow you if the benefit was within sight. If it's something which they can see, oh, there's a worldly benefit to be gained here, we can get some money, it's an easy one, we can go and attack those people and we're going to be rich, so like we're going to outnumber these people 5-1, it's going to be easy, they've got hardly any defenses, and there's money to be gained, they're wealthy, those people, we can go and fight them and we'll take that money, because then they'd follow you. Because they can see the benefit that they're going to gain, they can see the dunya benefit, the worldly benefit that they will achieve. Oh, وَسَفَرًا قَاسِدًا. Or if the journey was short and easy, meaning that because they don't believe in Allah, because they don't have iman in Allah, because they don't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only thing that will motivate them to go out is if there's a worldly benefit or it's not going to inconvenience them, it's comfortable for them. Which shows therefore what? That the one who does believe in Allah, the one who does believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who believes in the day of judgment and the reward of Allah azza wa jal, should be prepared to do things that are not easy for you to understand where the reward is. Those people see the reward, it's there in front of you, let's go. But the believer is the one who maybe they don't get a tangible reward, they can't see the materialistic benefit from that action of that they're going to perform, but they know that the reward of Allah in the Akhirah is greater. They may not see it here, they may not know it here, they may not experience it here, but they have that hope in the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. And number two, that they're willing therefore to do things that are more difficult, not always comfortable, not always convenient. So the person who goes and learns Quran or seeks knowledge or is willing to travel for the sake of Allah to perform Hajj or whatever it may be, they know that they're going to inconvenience themselves. They know that it's going to be difficult and long days. They know that it's going to be hard, but they're patient and they hope in Allah's reward and they're willing to make that sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the difference between the two. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying is those people, the hypocrites, had they known that there's some benefit, if it wasn't going to inconvenience them, if it was going to be comfortable and easy, then they would go out. وَلَكِنْ بَعُدَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الشُّقَّةِ. But the distance seemed too great for them. The affair was too difficult for them. The challenge seemed too great and insurmountable for them. How are we going to go and fight the Romans? How are we going to go and fight this army that's conquered so much of the world? How are we going to go and fight these people who are so well organized and they're so powerful that when they came to look at the Arabs, they didn't even look at twice at them because they considered them to be a ragtag group of people, just tribes and people that are just Bedouins and don't really have anything to worry about. Now we want to go and take them out and go and fight them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so what are they going to do instead? وَسَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ They will come and they will make false oaths by the name of Allah. لَوْ اسْتَطَعْنَا لَخَرَجْنَا مَعَكُمْ If we had the ability, meaning the physical ability, if we had the ability financially and so on, we would have come with you. يُهْلِكُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ Allah says they're just destroying themselves because Allah knows that they're lying. So what they're going to do, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows, and as we're going to speak later on, when we come to, for example, that story of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that companion who didn't also go out and participate in the Battle of Tabuk, what are we going to see is this was the way of the hypocrites. Some of them were the wealthiest people, the strongest physically people in Medina, the people that had the most ability to go out and fight, but because they didn't believe, because they didn't have Iman, because they were disbelievers, and because of the hypocrisy, they would make false oaths, take false oaths, and make false excuses. So they're going to come instead and say, we couldn't go because I was sick, I couldn't go because my father was ill, I couldn't go because of ABs, and they will make a whole range of excuses. And this we will see in more detail, inshallah ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, he will accept them, and he will take their excuses, and he will accept them as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, because Allah azza wa jalla commands us to judge people according to what we see that is apparent. The hearts of people, the intentions of people, and so on, that is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they conceal. We just judge people based upon what we can see. The person comes to you and you see that he steals some wealth, that person is a thief. Now if they turn around and say, you know, but I had this circumstance and that, that's between them and Allah Azza wa Jalla. What they did in front of you is what you base your ruling, or if the judge bases their ruling upon, not me or you specifically, but the judge, I mean, or the court would base the ruling based upon what is apparent. And if there are circumstances then that they want to take into consideration, they may and can do so even under Islamic law. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 43, speaking about this issue of how the Prophet ﷺ would then respond to those people, the hypocrites, when they would come with their false excuses. عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَ أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَتَعْلَمَ الْكَاذِبِينَ Allah Azza wa Jal says, may Allah forgive you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did you give them permission to stay at home before it had become clear to you which of them spoke the truth and which were liars? Meaning that you shouldn't have let them stay back when they came with their false excuses. You should have said, no, you have to come out. And I want you to come. And you don't have a choice. And there's no excuse to remain behind. Why? So that it would have been very clear to everyone then who's truthful in their Iman and who is not truthful in their Iman. But obviously Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying this so that the people would know that these people are hypocrites in reality. And the majority of those people, because not all of them, they were Muslims with genuine excuses, who would remain behind, weren't physically able to travel, didn't have the money to be able to travel, especially for a battle like this. They were people who had genuine excuses. But those people were the people that Allah Azza wa Jalla forgave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, but these people, they don't have a genuine excuse. They're making simply excuses because they don't believe in Allah. And they don't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, لا يستأذنك الذين يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر أن يجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم والله عليم بالمتقين. Those who have faith in Allah in the last day do not ask you for exemption from struggle with their possessions and their persons. But Allah knows exactly who is mindful of Him, meaning the people of Iman. They wouldn't just come before the battle and start making excuses and saying, we can't go, we don't have the ability, we don't have the wealth, we don't have the money, we physically, financially can't go. These people are the ones who would come, the true believers, as Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention towards the end of this juz, the true believers are the ones who would come, O Messenger of Allah, and say, O Messenger of Allah, this is our situation. We don't have the money. We can't buy a horse. We don't have the money to travel with you. However, If you have someone who can give it to us, find some sadaqah, find people who are willing to be charitable, we will go with you. So they're not looking for an exemption through their excuse. They're coming and they're seeking help. They're looking for different ways. They're trying their best. And some of those people, they were able to find people that would help them, people who would spend on them, people who would give them charity, or the Prophet ﷺ would have things that he could do to help them. And others from amongst them just couldn't find anything. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention this, and the way those companions then respond when they're told that unfortunately we can't do anything for you, we can't help you in any way. And that's why in the hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that were it not for these groups of people, I wouldn't have stayed behind from any expedition. Because there are two types of battles that took place in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. A battle that he himself participated in and led, and a battle that he didn't participate in, but he would send the companions and he would appoint one from amongst their number to be the leader of that expedition. He said in the hadith that if I had the ability, I wouldn't remain behind from anything, any of them. But I know that we have many from amongst us who can't travel, don't have the ability physically, financially to travel. And if I'm always out with those companions fighting, then those companions that stay behind would be extremely upset. So I'm showing them that it's okay, sometimes you don't have to go out. Sometimes you can't go out, it's not for everyone. And so therefore, the Prophet ﷺ was looking at the situation of those companions too. That is how the believers are. They're not looking for excuses, they're not making excuses, but they want to actually do what Allah has commanded and what the Prophet ﷺ has commanded in its correct context, obviously, because again, as always, when you're talking about these verses of jihad, we're not speaking about the individual who just goes and does extreme crazy things, but rather we're speaking about things that are done in its correct way, with the correct principles, under the leadership of the Muslim ruler, if he so wishes to do that thing. So who do make excuses? Who are those people who won't make excuses? Allah Azza wa Jalla says concerning the hypocrites in verse 45, إِنَّمَا يَسْتَأْذِنُكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَارْتَابَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فَهُمْ فِي رَيْبِهِمْ يَتَرَدَّدُونَ. Only those who do not have faith in Allah in the last day ask your permission to stay at home, because they have doubt in their hearts and so they waver. These are the people that will make excuses. These are the ones who will come and not want to, and often many of them wouldn't come before the battle, unlike the believers, because they're sincere, the believers. They're coming before the Prophet ﷺ leaves. O Messenger of Allah, this is our situation. What do we do? Like you see, for example, in the famous hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, who was from Yemen. The people of Ash'ariyah, or the Ash'ari tribe, are from Yemen. So when those Ash'ari, that delegation of Ash'aris came from Yemen, which is the tribe, not later on the sect that emerged, that are called the Ash'ari or the Ash'aris, we're talking about the tribe of Yemen. When they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they came, they wanted also to participate because it was the time of one of the battles. They said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, we've just arrived, we don't have anything. But if you can bring to us horses or whatever it may be, we'll come with you." The Prophet said, "I don't have anything for you. And by Allah, I can't give you anything." But after a while, someone came and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, these are horses that I want to donate. Sadaqah, charity." So the Prophet sent for those companions, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and those companions from Yemen, and he said, "I have something for you now." That's what the believers used to do. But the hypocrites often wouldn't come before the battle. When are they going to come? Because if they come, the Prophet may say, "Oh, it's okay, don't worry, I have something for you. Someone will help you." They don't want to go. So they don't want to come and make an excuse before the battle. They'll stay behind during the battle without telling anyone. They just won't turn up. And as the army leaves, and you can imagine when there's hundreds and hundreds of people, they're not taking a register, they're not taking a roll call. And so therefore, later on as they're traveling, they realize, "Oh, so-and-so stayed behind and so-and-so didn't come." And so when the Prophet ﷺ then returns, then those hypocrites will come and they will make their false excuses. That is the difference between the two. Why? Allah says, because they don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in the Day of Judgment. Their hearts are full of doubt and they waver in terms of when Allah commands something for them to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 46, وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ وَقِيلَ قُعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. If they had really wanted to go out to battle with you, they would have made preparations. But Allah was loath to let them rise up and made them hold back. It was said, "Stay with those who stay behind." Allah Azza wa Jalla says, as we just mentioned, had they been sincere, they would have made preparations. They would have asked, they would have researched, they would have sought, they would have come to the Prophet ﷺ and asked for help. That's a sign of sincerity. Someone that wants to do something, like those people who, for example, say, "I want to learn Quran, I want to seek knowledge, I want to do some good." But then they're at home and they don't make any effort whatsoever. Don't do anything. And when you ask them, didn't you say you wanted to seek knowledge? They have 101 excuses for you. But the people who are sincere will seek and learn and find out and research. And maybe then they can't even do it because every single door is closed. But you can see from their efforts that they're sincere. As opposed from those people who are really sincere, they just want to, or they just like to, or they just like to say things, but they're not really sincere because they don't show that sincerity in terms of their efforts. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that had they really wanted to go out, they would have made the preparations to do so. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ. Allah disliked that they should go with you, because they in the Muslim army, they don't help. Those are the people that are going to say things that are negative. Those are the people that are going to look for excuses. Those are the people that are going to try to bring animosity and rivalry and break the army up into factions and groups. All they're going to do is make things difficult for you. فَثَبَّطَهُمْ. So Allah Azza wa Jal made them stay back. Allah made them, meaning in His decree was written that they would stay back. These are the people that won't go out with you. They won't fight with you. وَقِيلَ اقْعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. And that's why it said to them, stay with those people who stay back. What are the people that usually stay behind? The elderly, the sick, the women, the children. You stay with those people. Rather than going out and fighting or going out with the army of those people that are wanting to fight. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this, the wisdom of them not being able to go out, or Allah Azza wa Jalla not decreeing for them to go out in verse 47. لو خرجوا فيكم ما زادوكم إلا خبالا ولا أوضعوا خلالكم يبغونكم الفتنة وفيكم سماعون لهم والله عليم بالظالمين. Allah Azza wa Jal says they would only have given you trouble if they had gone out to battle with you. They would have scurried around trying to sow discord amongst you. And some of you would willingly have listened to them, and Allah knows exactly who does evil. This is the reason why Allah decreed that they wouldn't go out. Because it's not beneficial for the army. The things that they will do in terms of their ignorance and in terms of their lack of trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, in terms of their nifaq and their hypocrisy, would only make things difficult for the believers. And some of the people would have been influenced, because some of those people in the army are new Muslims. Some of them are young people. Some of them are weak in their iman, or relatively speaking, weaker in their iman. And so therefore those people are going to be influenced, because remember, these people, the hypocrites, are from their families, from their tribes, their neighbors, their friends, the people that they do business with. And those people, no matter who you are, will have a certain amount of influence over you. They will have certain things that will sow the seeds of doubt within your hearts and your minds. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says it's better that they don't go. Better that they stay behind and they don't participate with you. In the final verse that we'll take today, in verse 48, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, again speaking about these people, لقد ابتغوا الفتنة من قبل وقلبوا لك الأمور حتى جاء الحق وظهر أمر الله وظهر أمر الله وهم كارهون. Indeed, they had tried before to stir up discord. They devised plots against you until the truth was exposed and Allah's will triumphed, much to their disgust. It's not the first time Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, didn't they do this in the battles of Uhud, in the battle of Badr, in every single major thing that you wanted to do, a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Ahzab, and they said, look, there's no hope, just go home. There's no one going to save you today. These armies have come, the confederation of the Arabs has come in order to harm you in Medina. This is the way that they are. They have always tried to stir up fitna and discord, and they have devised many plots against you. They are the ones who tried to get the armies into Medina. They're the ones who try to help the enemies of Islam come in to Medina and fight against the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ is being told, this is how it is. But Allah Azza wa Jalla made the truth known and apparent. And Allah showed them, or Allah exposed them and showed their true nature. And the Prophet ﷺ, as we know, was aware of them, and he knew them by name. Knew every single one of them by name. And he even told those names to his companion Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, radiyallahu anhu warda. So Allah Azza wa Jalla in this passage gives to us a very good look in terms of the difference between the believers and the way they respond and the way the hypocrites are when any of the commands, even though this verse, as we said, all these verses are being mentioned in the context of the Battle of Tabuk. But as we said, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to us principles that we can take and apply to many different scenarios within our life. The way, the mindset of the believer and the way they are, that is something that we should all aspire to. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to do that. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.